National Farm Institute.
In 1943, Herb went to England, thus becoming the first reporter to represent an independent radio station overseas. He observed the farmers of Hell's Corner in Kent, working under shell fire from across the channel, saw them toiling under blitz conditions in other areas of England. Herb Plambeck was the first Iowa war correspondent, radio or newspaper.
1944. In 1944, following Herb Plambeck's widely heard radio reports from England, Alan Klein, president of the Iowa Farm Bureau, was called to London and broadcast a special program to WHO, opening with,
"Hello, WHO, and hello, Herb Plambeck, and all listeners to Corn Belt Hour. This is Alan Klein, speaking to you all back home from an underground studio in London, through the courtesy of the British Broadcasting Corporation."
Incidentally, Mr. Klein is now in The Hague, Holland, at an international farm convention. In 1944, the WHO Farm Department carried on war food administration work, helped sponsor the Victory Volunteers, youngsters who contributed much to farm health. In 1944, Bill Diamond had joined the staff. Then, on December 30th, WHO presented...
The 400th Corn Belt Farm Hour is on the air.
1945, start of the ninth year. And again, Herb Plambeck went to Europe, as Bill Diamond carried on here. While in Paris, Herb opened his broadcast by saying...
"Hello, WHO. This is Herb Plambeck, your farm editor, now serving as war correspondent, speaking to you from Paris. Much history has been written since leaving you a little over a week ago. Much more is in the making today, tomorrow, and in the weeks and months ahead. A lot of it will be recorded over here, where so many of your own men and boys are serving the colors so bravely and well."
Radioing from the Rhine, he observed,
"Because I was one of the few correspondents to witness this magnificent Third Army operation, and one of the first in this area to set foot on Nazi soil on the other side of the Rhine, I believe an eyewitness report is in order."
At Dachau, stunned by the sight of inhuman cruelties inflicted by the Nazis, Herb radioed this almost unbelievable report on atrocities committed.
"We pulled up to a railroad spur, and there I saw a train of death. 45 boxcars, some of them nearly half filled with human bodies. Poles, Russians, Jews, and people of all other lands and creeds. Many of them sent from Buchenwald and other Nazi places of horror. All of them victims of starvation, disease, and torture. I can't bring myself to describe this in its entirety."
At Antwerp, Belgium, with the raucous clamor of harbor boats in the background, Herb reported the arrival of American products at destination.
"Yes, we're in Antwerp, and that whistle you've just heard came from one of the countless ships down here at the American docks, along the port of Antwerp. This is a fascinating sight. Liberty ships, victory ships, huge ocean vessels, yes, and small tugboats, too."
And then Herb started for home, broadcasting in turn from Holland, the Channel Islands, England, and Scotland. The war was about over, and post-war plans must be made and got underway.
1946, the start of the 10th year. Gene Meyer joined the WHO farm staff.
Herb Plambeck was elected president of the National Association of Radio Farm Directors.
Secretary Anderson spoke over WHO, addressing the National Farm Institute.
"Agriculture's broad objectives for the post-war period look toward a well-balanced, enduring, and prosperous economy."
September 21st, 1946, the nationally acclaimed WHO plowing match. This event earned for WHO a distinguished award. But that came in 1947.
October 26, 1946. WHO wins National Farm Safety Award.
December 28, a Farm Hour salute on Iowa's 100th birthday. A centennial broadcast hailing the farmers' magnificent contribution to the development of our state. And now it's 1947, and today the chime symbolized the start of our 11th year. May the next decade afford us the opportunity to serve, to teach, to learn, to work as we have in the past. And may the rewards for all of us, for you, our neighbors, and for us, the members of the WHO staff, be as deeply gratifying as the one WHO received in March of this year, the DuPont Award, radio's accolade for distinguished public service. Dr. Francis Gaines of Washington and Lee University made the presentation.
But almost in the heart of our nation, one large station addressed itself to an ancient and an essential problem, basic for our survival as well as for our expanding progress, the conservation of our soil. Empires once green as river valleys are now counted among the trackless deserts because men neglected the soil. It must never be so in America. To awaken its constituents to this danger, to advise of effectual means for averting this danger, to suggest the rewards to be earned by thwarting this danger, a great station brought tireless and resourceful emphasis. The success of its effort will be increasingly evident in the prosperity and the happiness of its people. For such a notable achievement, the Judges Award the 1946 Alfred I. DuPont Large Station Award to WHO of Des Moines, represented here by Colonel B.J. Palmer.
The feature you just heard was a summarization of 10 years of Corn Belt Hour service, arranged by WHO's program director, Jack Kerrigan, and written by Harold Clark of our production department. Whenever we have a farm program of special significance, we always call on Iowa's capable genial Secretary of Agriculture, Harry Lynn. We're proud and honored to present Mr. Harry Lynn at this time.
Thanks. I'm glad to have a part in this anniversary program, for I very much appreciate the valuable contribution you folks in WHO have made to the advancement and welfare of agriculture in Iowa during the past 10 years. Farmers in this area of our nation are, as a class, an educated and progressive group of agriculturists. They read and listen to sound, up-to-date information and news covering their chosen profession. WHO was among the leaders in radio to recognize the demand and capacity of the farm listeners for up-to-date educational information and news concerning farm activities. That is one of the reasons that you can boast of your great listening farm audience. I cannot adequately compliment this station for its 10 years of prompt and efficient service to farmers of the state in broadcasting storm and frost warnings, the changes in prices paid at the market, your excellent programs of soil conservation, feeding and management of livestock and poultry, the interest in proper soil tillage brought about by your work and promotion with plowing matches, your interesting program explaining control methods for insect pests such as the grasshopper, chinch bug, and European corn borer, your contributions to agriculture of the state by the recognition of the many groups and individuals of farm leaders such as the 4-H, FFA, and other junior leaders and winners of our local and state national contests, plowing and corn husking champions, champing producers of our livestock and various farm products. Your efforts to bring to us, over the air, the voices and wisdom of the many farm leaders of the state, the nation, and the world. Your outstanding achievements in farm safety. You do a good job in helping to advertise Iowa, and all of us here are thankful to live in a fertile state which leads the nation in the production of so many essential farm products such as corn, hogs, fat cattle, poultry, eggs, and numerous other food and raw material products. Folks, the thing I am trying to say here is that it is a privilege for us interested in agriculture to live in a state where the folks of the press and the radio respect the needs, the intelligence, and the culture of the people on the farm. And in this knowledge, prepare for us news, educational material, and entertainment which helps make Iowa a more wholesome, more happy, and more profitable place in which to live.
Thank you sincerely, Harry Lynn, Iowa's Secretary of Agriculture. Now, Don Hovey, how about a touch of music? Thanks, Don. Here's Herb Plambeck.
Just another word of summary to repeat again. 4,296 guests appeared in our Corn Belt Hour prior to today's program. You've heard the number of farmers and homemakers. Many, many, many of them. 199 soldiers and many others. Now, for a closing word, we'd like to turn to WHO's program director, Jack Kerrigan.
Herb, I'm simply speaking on behalf of Colonel B.J. Palmer, president of the Central Broadcasting Company, and Mr. J. O. Mayland, our vice president and general manager. They share your happiness today on the completion of 10 years of what we all consider to have been an outstanding service to Corn Belt farmers, as well as to every resident of the Corn Belt, who depends on healthy, prosperous agriculture for the welfare of his own business, whatever it may be. Rather than the completion of 10 years of Corn Belt Farm Hours, as portrayed in the montage prepared by Harold Clark, WHO would rather have you, Herb, and Bill Diamond, and Gene Meyer, and Eileen Shives, your co-workers in the farm department, regard this as the beginning of your 11th year of service to our unnumbered WHO listeners. Now, I'd appreciate the opportunity to say one word on my own behalf as program director, though, Herb, and that is this. Whatever credit may accrue to you for your splendid record of farm service within the program schedules of this station, you should accept without blushing. It is more than due you for your leadership.
Thank you very much, Jack Kerrigan, and I just want to say that our engineer today, Harold Red Ristler, ran this show when it went on the air some 10 years ago. We're very happy to have him with us again on the program today. And now may I pledge our continued efforts to give our very best on this and all other WHO programs. And as we conclude these 10 years of the program, we look forward to the next decade as one of even greater service to Midwestern farm families and to all of our other listeners. This program was produced in the studios of WHO Des Moines.